Welcome to TIP-TV Finance, where I'm joined by Mark Oswald, who's a strategist at ADM Investor Services. How are you today, Mark?
I'm okay.
Right, have you renewed your Citi lease today?
No, but Deutsche have.
I'm very disappointed because that was my comedy turn this morning, and it turns out all they've done is renewed their lease. They haven't actually moved to London or gone anywhere.
No.
Well, they're not going anywhere anyway, but so we've got nothing to conclude from this at all.
No, but so it is in the spirit of fake news. Nevertheless, when that is the era which we live in at the moment. And it's, I suppose, some irony that we're focusing in financial markets on this vote in the House of Representatives and states on the American Health Care Act, which is designed to repeal Obamacare. Everyone's very focused, you know, they think it's sort of significant because as long as Trump can get this legislation through, then the other things which markets are hoping for, which are more constructive and which some of the buoyancy has been based on, will set a good signal for them. If it doesn't, it sets a bad signal for them. But let's have a quick checking query here. Obamacare was far from perfect. Trumpcare is definitely worse. It's clearly... It would benefit the wealthiest in the country by, according to some estimates, up to $50,000 a year. Those on the minimum wage would be worse off by $1,420 a year. about 25 to 28 million people who are currently covered by Obamacare would fall then into the responsibility of the states and the municipalities to come up with their health care. And, of course, with the lowest earners having to pay that much more, you've got to start worrying about consumer spending as we go forward. So I would love to know what is so good about this bill being passed, if you look at the actual details of it.
Right, so it was Obamacare was, let's say, full of flaws, but this is almost fatally flawed.
This is, you know, it's very, very poor. You know, there are elements of Obamacare which are appalling, there's no doubt about it. But if this was meant to be a better replacement, then people have got to be kidding. But so we're totally focused on that, which seems to me somewhat myopic. I think particularly when you look at the news we've had out of the Eurozone this morning in terms of the flash PMIs, universally much better than expected, both in France and in Germany and for the Eurozone as a whole. And there's a trick here everyone seems to be missing, because as we go into this summit in Rome this weekend to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Treaty of Rome, everyone's so focused on the EU, the Eurozone is about to implode, Le Pen's going to win the French election, it's the end of the world. And yet, actually, when you look at the performance of the Eurozone economy, and I'm not just talking about Germany here, I'm specifically meaning in broad terms, it's probably not done this well in about 10 years. So there is some irony in all of that, that we've been worrying for years. And at the start of most years, for the past certainly three or four, everyone's saying, this year it's the year to buy European equities. And at the end of it, we're still worrying about European banks and the Eurozone economy and poor Eurozone earnings. Now, when we've actually got some reasons to be very optimistic about Eurozone equities, everyone's saying, well, yeah, but it's not even going to, you know, it might not even last a year. If Le Pen wins, they're going to be out of the EU and out of the Eurozone, and they'll be neither of both. So I think some perspective is required. And I also think, in terms of the actual politics at the moment, the elections that we have, yes, we are going to worry about them because we've had shocks via the election system in the UK and the US over the past year. But I think at the end of the day, we will worry and then we'll get past it, and it will not necessarily usher in a brave new era of European politics, that far from saying that, but at least we will be able to refocus on the Eurozone economies and also concentrate on really the biggest weakness, which is still Italy. So the hosts of this big shindig this weekend are the ones which are the most vulnerable, because yeah, as long as Renzi was there as the great hope or the counter-hope to all the destructive forces which were unleashed during the Berlusconi era, there was reason to hope. Now we're in a situation where he's effectively looking like he's split his own party in two. And you'd be headed for an election, latest by early next year, in which the current constitution or the modified constitution will probably deliver no overall winner. And as we all know, Italy has a very large debt. Its economy is one of the weakest. obviously, the banking sector woes are more than well documented. So I think the focus of financial markets in number of places, both in the US and in the Eurozone, is somewhat misplaced at the moment. And at some stage, we're going to need to get down to the real nuts and bolts of what's going on, rather than fretting about things which in many cases are either a negative, as in the US, or we're missing the trick of this improvement in the Eurozone that we're getting at the moment.
Yeah, but is that going to be enough to sort of change the main problem we have with Italy and Greece? I mean, is it going to be able to take up the slack of that?
Is it going to change the dynamics? No, that requires political will. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to go down the route, which is unfortunate, obviously, of further can-kicking, both in terms of Italy and, above all, in terms of Greece, rather than we're facing Eurogeddon, as it's been called on many an occasion. The ability of the EU and Eurozone to come up with nasty fixes which don't fix anything is well documented. And I think the important thing in terms of the economy, if the economies do start to do better and you start to bring down unemployment significantly, then the appeal of the populace will start to fade. And it's notable, particularly in Germany, that what we've seen over the past 3 months is a big swing back to the so-called Volksparteien, the people's parties, the traditional parties. About this time last year, the SPD and CDU between them were polling only somewhere between 52 and 55%, dangerously close to going below 50. They're now polling between 64 and 66%. That's one big swing. And it's certainly, I think, partly driven by the fact that the German economy is doing so well that people really aren't interested in chancing their arms with these more extreme type parties.
Mark Oswald, strategist at ADM Investor Services. Thanks for coming in today.